for you, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Good, so without further ado, part three, Rabbi Dweck.
Thank you, sir.
The floor is yours.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Rabbi Zarum. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming tonight. I want to thank also some of the trustees of the LSJS for being here and trustees of the S&P for being here tonight. It's always good to see the gentlemen and ladies represent. We're getting into the nitty-gritty tonight. We're going to be looking at the actual text, the opening of Hilchot Deot. And what we're going to do tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, is the first four halachot of Hilchot Deot. We're going to touch at the opening of the fifth halacha as well. But my aim tonight is to go through the first four halachot with you and to be able to round them out and understand what Harambam is presenting to us over here at the opening of the halachot. We have spoken about in the last 2 weeks, the last two classes, what the ultimate premise is over here. Last week, the 2 weeks ago, we spoke about da'at itself, right? What we mean when we say da'at. Last week, we spoke about the mitzvah, the actual commandment of vehalachta bidrachav, to walk in God's ways, and what that means. So what we're going to be doing now is we're going to begin, we are embarking on the detailed law that is part of, or the development of, the details of, that mitzvah vehalachta bedrachav. Out of 7 chapters in Hilchot Deot, 4 deal with that mitzvah. Harambam lists 11 mitzvot. 11 mitzvot of the 613 that he will address in these chapters. 4 of the chapters deal with one mitzvah. The 5th chapter deals with a 5th mitzvah of the 11. And the last 2 chapters deal with the rest. So the bulk of the dealings of Hilchot Deot is this mitzvah of Vehalachta Bedrachav, walking in God's way. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the 4 halachot that open it. And we're going to look at them in a particular seder, in a particular order. Harambam opens. What I'd like to do first is to read the mitzvot, because people generally just skip right through that. And one of the beautiful things that Harambam does in his book of the Mishneh Torah is he counts the mitzvot that he's going to be dealing with for us, so that we understand. And this is so important, so that we understand that what he's dealing with are mitzvot in the Torah, so that we don't get lost in the details and nuance of legalities that we will be dealing with, and questions and discussions that we'll be dealing with, in the fact that we are dealing with details of mitzvot of God, of God's commandments. And he wants us to know which ones we're dealing with when we get into the details of discussion. So what I'm going to do first with you is to read that. This is his writing. The Rambam opens his halachot this way. And because it's a heading, people tend to skip it. I don't like to skip it. Harambam put it there for a reason. I think we should read it. So let's go quickly at the top. Hilchot Deot, the laws of Deot, yesh bichlalan. Among them, there are 11 mitzvot, 11 commandments. Hamesh mitzvot aseh, there are 5 positive commandments, meaning 5 do's. 6 negative commandments, 6 don'ts. So of these halachot, of deot, of understanding how it is that we connect to the world and to understand ourselves and ultimately to God, there are 5 positive commandments in the Torah, as Harambam sees it, 6 negative commandments, and they are, bezehu pratan, 1, lihidamot bidrachav, to walk in or to model ourselves after his ways. That, like I said, will be 4 chapters. 2, lihidabek biyodav, to connect to, literally to cling to, those who know him. So if you remember last week's shiur, we spoke about what it means. We at least opened up the concept of what it means to know God. We talked about knowing his name, what his name means. So here there is a mitzvah in the Torah to cling to those who know him. When Harambam counts these mitzvot in his book on the mitzvot themselves, Harambam wrote a book on counting the mitzvot. So he enumerates them and briefly describes each one of the 613 mitzvot. He says there, when he lists this second mitzvah that he mentions over here, he says that it is, the mitzvah is to connect to the hachamim. We're going to understand why here he says yode'av instead of hachamim, not tonight, when we get to the fifth chapter. We'll get into discussing that. We'll touch on it already the next class that we have, which Rabbi Zarum said in another 2 weeks. Number three, lehov et re'im, to love the members of Klal Yisrael. Re'im literally means your friends, your brethren. Specifically, this means the people of your nation, right? To have love for all of them. Number four, le'ehov et hagerim. Very interesting over here. I'm not sure why yet, but I hope by the time we get to Shir, I will figure it out. The Rambam here, instead of saying le'ehov et gerim, the way that he says le'ehov et re'im, he adds what we call the he ha'idi'ah. He adds a he here, which means the gerim. So for some reason, he's specifying this further with the he ha'idi'ah before a gerim, but nonetheless, there is a mitzvah here to love the convert. A person who converts to Judaism, halachically. Five, shelo lisnoahim. Not only are we commanded to love, we are commanded not to hate. And we'll talk about what that means. It's this thing in your heart. How does it work? Number six, lehochiach. Being that we are a nation and that we have connections to each other, we have some level of responsibility for notifying one another when we see a friend going off or having issues in terms of being able to keep their lives proper and function in terms of the mitzvot. There are serious laws with regards to who's allowed and when they're allowed to do this. It's not everybody wants to get on their soapbox. There's very serious detail of laws to when and how and in what circumstances a friend tells another friend, listen, I have a feeling that you might need to adjust course. Yeah, why? But there is a mitzvah to do that. Number seven, shelo lehalbin panim, not to literally whiten someone's face, which we explain as being that you're not allowed to embarrass someone. We call it whitening someone's face because one goes pale of embarrassment, worse than blushing. Goes pale with embarrassment. Shelo le'anot umlalim, that we should not cause, and it's important, I'm going to pause over here for, since we're Sfaradim, not that the Ashkenazim don't have digduk, but we're extremely sticklers about, we're big sticklers about this. Notice, if you have in your, you have the nikudot, yeah? So you see in the noon, there's a dagesh. Yes? Mm-hmm. That dagesh makes all the difference in the world. And if you don't pronounce it, you're saying something else. Right? So to say le'anot umlalim is to cause downtrodden, those who are downtrodden, to suffer. Le'anot. La'anot, with a soft nun, means to answer them. La'anot. Yeah? This is why it's very important on Yom Kippur, when you are singing Anenu, if you're a Sfaradi, not to say Anenu. Because when you're saying Anenu to God, you're asking God to cause you to suffer. If you say Anenu with a soft nun, you're asking God to answer you. Yeah? Make sure that you say the right thing. So it's very, very important to know the difference between a dagesh hazak and a not a dagesh, and when to enunciate, when not to enunciate, makes all the difference in the world in terms of meaning. Here, Rambam says not to cause the downtrodden suffering. They are already lowly and feeling, having difficulty in their life. Don't cause it further. The interesting thing on this one, which we'll see later, is that that's not the way that the Torah presents it. Torah simply says not to cause suffering to an orphan and a widow. And when the Rambam lists this halakha in his Sefer Mitzvot, he says orphan and widow. Here, for some reason, he expands orphan and widow as symbols for all those who are downtrodden. Which means that if somebody, God forbid, is bankrupt and they're down on their luck, they fall under this category, very likely. Not just the orphan and widow. So we're going to have to understand why the Rambam does that. We'll do that also later on. Lo ha'aloch rachil, don't be peddling information of others around. Don't gossip. And that goes on. Those are in the last two prakim. Lo linkom, do not take revenge. Lo lintor, do not hold grudge. Ubiur mitzvot elu biprakim elu. We will explain these commandments in the following chapters. We open tonight back at the first mitzvah of walking in God's way, and we turn inwards. The first thing we do before we can talk about managing ourselves and bringing ourselves to relate to God, we need to get to know ourselves. So if you'll remember from the first shiur, we talked about de'ot as being a connection, and through connection knowledge, experiential knowledge, having an understanding of things, absorbing a knowledge of things through interface. The knowledge of oneself is the first interface that someone has to have. I brought in that shiur a beautiful piece from Rav Kook. And Rav Kook says that the first steps of teshuvah, the first steps of repentance, of coming back to God, is coming back to oneself. To being able to genuinely know oneself, realistically, truly. So what the Rambam is doing over here, what we'll see very briefly, in a moment, not very briefly, he's going to take the time for this year, is our first steps is to come to know who we are. The first steps of knowing who we are is to know what it means to be a human being. And the first step to knowing what it means to being a human being when we're dealing with or questioning our attributes, the way we behave, our relationships, our psychology, is to understand that we are complex beings. We're not simple. We are a mess inside. We have in ourselves several different moods, thoughts, likes, dislikes, strengths, weaknesses, experiences, ups, downs, rights, left. You got off on the right side of the bed today, the wrong side of the bed today. You looked at somebody the wrong way. They looked at you the wrong way. Everything changes. We don't know what we're going to be tonight or tomorrow morning, much less how we're going to be a year or two from now. We have trouble stabilizing ourselves in terms of our thought, feelings, behavior, and what have you. Why? We're complicated. We are complicated beings. So the first thing that Harambam wants to point out is that we are multicolored in terms of our thought, feeling, psychology, behavior, all of it. We've got a whole party going on in there, inside. And the question for us is just to manage, is just a matter, first of all, of getting to know it and managing it. So we understand, if we are true with ourselves, that there is such a diverse level of dynamic running on in our heads that we're not even sure why we're feeling what we're feeling. Isn't that true? I mean, you can get up one day, come into the afternoon when in the morning was great, all of a sudden feel like, eh, and say, what's the matter? I don't know. Just, you know, meh. And to figure out why it is that we're feeling these ways is a very recent thing. We kind of just go on feeling what it is that we're feeling, but to now to start having to dig in and say, well, what was the trigger? What I like to call a life shock. A friend of mine taught me that. A life shock. You know, they happen all the time. The question is, what do we do with these things, right? What do we do with these things? So, the Rambam here is saying that we are multifaceted. And that's his opening of the entire thing. Understand that we're complicated. Have a look at the first halakha. De'ot harbe yesh lekol echad ve'echad mibnei adam. There are many de'ot for every single one of the human beings on this planet. De'ot, I'm going to translate as modes of interaction. Whether they are modes of interaction with the world or modes of interaction with oneself. V'zo mishune mizo. Each one's different from the other. It's diverse. Not only are they diverse, sometimes they are diametrically opposed. In other words, I can have extremes of behavior and feeling within the same person. On the one hand, I can be extremely happy one moment, extremely sad the other, extremely angry one moment, extremely content the other, and so on and so forth. We all have wide ranges of behavior usually, right? And even if it's not within ourselves, Within humanity, the ranges are immense. The diversity is immense, the ranges are immense. Now, he starts to talk about people that have overwhelming attributes. That you would say about such a person, they're a happy person, they're a sad person, they're an angry person. So like we do. And the only reason we do that is because we find people to have overwhelming attributes in terms of how it is that they present themselves in the world, carry themselves, and so on. Here, Harambam gives examples. The reason he's giving examples is because he wants us to understand what he means by deot. What is it talking about over here? I mean, are we talking about, you know, different feelings that we have as far as our appetite is concerned? That some days I like steak and sometimes I like fish? He's saying, I want you to understand what we're talking about. And as I describe it, I mean, he's not saying it, but he's saying it. As I describe this to you, you'll get what I'm talking about immediately because you're a human being and you'll get the things that I'm pointing to. He said, for example, you have a person, shida'ato miyushevet anav. You have a person who their capacity for interacting with the world and with themselves, for that matter, is quite well seated. It's stable. Miyushevet means it's seated well. It's calm, it's focused, it's level-headed. You have a person... I did skip. Yesh Adam, sorry, we'll go back one line. Yesh Adam Shubal Hema. You have people that are hot-headed. Hema, it's home. They're hot, right? They're hot-headed. Kores Tamid, they're angry all the time. They just get angry about everything. Everything is angry. Yesh Adam, Shedatom Yushevet Alav. However, there are others, like I said, that their thought, their capacity for interaction is quite stable. They're not volatile. Yeah. Ve'enokoes klal, they don't get angry at all. Don't get angry at all, meaning imkas, if they get angry, yichos kas me'at b'chama shanim. They get slightly angry every few years. That's what he says. Now, this is an important point over here, because this is halachic. Right? This is halachic. It's important. Harambam here is saying that the definition of someone who does not get angry means someone who gets angry slightly every few years. Because otherwise, why is he saying that? He's not doing this with all the other attributes. He doesn't say, you know, there are some people that are haughty and some people that are quite humble. And then there's some people that if they're humble, they get haughty every now and then. He doesn't do that. It's only here that he does this. His definition of not getting angry is that a person only gets slightly angry every few years or so. Yeah? Okay. Continues. Yesh adam shugvalev biyoter. There are some people that are exceedingly arrogant. Exceedingly arrogant. Yes, there's some people shushfal ruahan meod. There's some people that are so humble they are like make mats of themselves, right? Like we say, a doormat. Yeshu bal tava. There are some people that just are insatiable with desire. They just need to have lotisba nafsho. They are insatiable, literally. That's what lotisba nafsho means. Mehaloch betavato. They cannot stop with their desire. They just can't. They're not happy unless they're consuming something. Yeshu torguf beyoter. On the other hand, there are people that are very pure of physical body, meaning they don't need anything for their body, not looking of any desire really. Lo itave afil dvarim meotim. They don't desire even the most minor things shaguf tzarich lahem, that the body actually needs. So they don't eat. You know, they peck at their food like birds. They don't really look to get anything. They could care less about their clothing. They'll wear burlap. It's not a problem. This is kind of people. So these are extremes, yes? The Rambam, but you get now what we're talking about. You understand that we're talking about the modes in which people interact with life. How they deal with themselves, human being, in world and life. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, shehakol nehiya v'dvaro. Amen. So I want to expand this a little bit because Harambam is not just saying here, look, there's all kinds of people. He's making a point, like I said in the beginning, of saying we are complicated. And we have to understand before we even begin any discussions of dealing with ourselves that we are complicated. So I want you to take a look at number one on the source sheets. And this is from the Moreh Nebuchim. Can we bring that up? Yeah, we have it? Okay. Number one on the source sheet. So we have what I've been reading from is actually Hilchot Deot, and then there I have the source sheets that are supporting Hilchot Deot. Okay? I'm sorry? I don't know if there are, but we've got it up here in case you want to see, but I don't know if we've got any express source sheets. Okay? So this is number one. Number one comes from the Moreh Nebuchim, the guide for the perplexed, written by Harambam himself, and he says, "Umehamat ribui ha'erkev v'min hazeh." He opens saying, because of the complexity of this species. The species he's speaking about? Us. Because of the complexity of this species, Rav Ahevdel Ben Yehidav. The differences between the individuals that make up this species is massive. And he says, you don't have another species on earth in which the individual members of the species are in and of themselves diverse from one another to the degree that humans are from each other. It is possible that you could go through person after person after person and not find two people that are really alike. In the same way that you look at their faces and their build and their body and so on, all different, that's how they are. Their minds are different, their thought is different, their tastes are different, their attributes are different. Here he goes into a little saying, the reason is because the way that they're made up, different than other animals. En kemo ashoni hazeh ha'ishi ha'atsum matsui be'av echad mimineh ba'alei chayim. You do not find this level of diversity among the singular elements of a species in any other species. It's not, the difference of faces. I mean, this is why, people will get, parents get another goldfish. The goldfish died before the kid gets back home, you get another goldfish. Can't do that with people. All right? Except for the human, you could have two people that are so different, if you didn't know better, you'd think that they were from two different species. Literally, from different species. Okay? You will find one that is so mean and vicious, for example, among human beings, where one would be literally willing to kill the youngest of one's own children. And then you find people that are so soft and so merciful they can't kill a mosquito. Right? So that's the Rambam's example, right? You find one, he can't bring himself to kill a fly, as we would say, he wouldn't hurt a fly. Yeah? Some people, flies are nothing, it's not a problem. People, humans. Yeah? So Harambam is opening with this point. So once we understand that we're dealing with a complex, diverse entity, we at least can embark. Because we realize we've got our hands full. Yeah? We are not engaging in an easy task whatsoever. The next thing that the Rambam does is he goes on to give examples. And I want to look at some of the examples that he gives. We're going to read through them relatively quickly. Okay? He says, Yesh ba'al nefesh rahava. There are some people whose ambition knows no bounds. And where do you see ambition knowing no bounds manifesting? Money. Because money, interestingly enough, unlike every other thing that we have in this world that is enjoyable for us or that fills some kind of need for us, you always get your fill at the end of the day. Unless it's money. So it doesn't matter whether it's food, doesn't matter what it is. Even in terms of the addict, right? The addict has to stop at some point and then return to it, right? Unless, God forbid, it runs to a point where they end up killing themselves, God forbid. But ultimately, on all normal situations with people, whenever we're having some physical needs met, there's a limit to how much we can have the physical needs. It doesn't matter. I love steak, I love hamburger, whatever. How many can you have? Even if you've really, really got a tremendous propensity for it. There's only so much that a person can have in one particular city. Money is not a thing. It's potential. That's all it is, right? But it's everything. Because money is the possibilities. of what it is that I can do, what it is that I can accomplish, how it is I can manifest myself in the world. And that's why we even like rich people. I mean, if we're going to say it out loud, yeah. I mean, you think maybe there's potential that the rich person will actually like you. Yeah, they'll say, well, I don't know, maybe some money will fall out of their pocket, you know, in my direction, you know. Which is silly. It's silly. Because the whole thing is also just a question of potential. Because it's a question of potential, there's no satiation for it. It never ends. And so if you have someone who's majorly ambitious, meaning that they do not have satiation in terms of their ambition, the wider they can spread themselves, the more power and ability they can have, the more that they can buy or control, the more that they can manifest themselves, the more fame, whatever the case may be, the best facilitator of that is money. So that's why HaRambam puts them together. And he says, Yeshu hu ba'al nefesh rehava, there are some people whose ambitions is so wide, shelot yisba'a nafsho mikol mamon ha'olam, could have all the money in the world, as we say. It wouldn't help. It wouldn't be enough. Kenyan sheneemar, as King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes and Kohelet, ohev kesef lo yisba kesef. A person who loves money will never be satiated from money. What does it mean that they love money? They love the potential itself. They don't love the actual thing that they can get from it. And that's a major difference. That, for us, is an important difference. If I recognize money only as a means to a particular end, and that my end is not the means itself, then I have enough. Because I have what I want. But if what I want is more, in other words, that's essentially my desires, ambition, to be able to expand myself, and that's what I'm looking for, then the money is the facilitator, and that's all I ever want. And I can't ever have enough of that. But if I recognize the money as a means to be able to get what it is that I want, and that I know what I want, well then all right, so then I know with this I have enough. So the Rambam is saying that that's why. So that's why King Solomon says, if you love the money, the potential alone, then there's no end. It doesn't ever end. Then there are people, he says, mekatzer shedayo, there's a person that limits oneself, restricts oneself to the point, on the other extreme, shedayo afil davar muad shelo yaspiklo, that he suffices with enough that really isn't even enough for him, right? Not enough, but it's enough. Lo yirdof lasiko tzuko, he has no ambition. So he will not even leave home in order to be able to get the things that he needs. Yeah. This is different than the person that we talked about before in terms of not wanting to eat enough and so on and so forth. This has to do with ambition. It has to do with the drive to go out and do what one needs to do in the world. So he's saying that this person is not leaving, will not even put forth the effort to go and get what the person needs in the world. Yeshu misagef atzmo barav, there are some people that cause their own suffering in hunger. Vekobetz al yado, and limits his hand in stinginess. This is another thing. This is not a lack of ambition, and it's not a lack of wanting to have things in terms of desire. It's a fear of spending. I don't know what I should do. It's like a hoarding kind of thing, right? Where I can't bear to let something out of my hands. I don't know what will happen if I let it out of my hands. So there are some people that are on the extreme. Bless you. There are some people that are on the extreme that, bless you again, that they will not... Do I hear a third? No, all right. You know. Want to round it up. Right? He will not eat anything of his own. Unless he has to really go through some serious distress if he has to do this. So there's hoarding, but he doesn't touch his own stuff. Yeshu, there are those people, they just give it all out. Not that they give it away to other people. They just have no problem spending. They don't care about giving their property out for other things. Yeah? He goes, I hope you get the picture. This is how we would look at all the other levels and elements of attributes in a person. I'll say them shortly. He says, there are people that are always happy. There are people that are always sad. Neither is good. There are some people that are very stingy in terms of what they give to others, which we haven't discussed yet. And there are some people that are quite magnanimous, and they're very open to what it is that they give. Some people are very mean. Some people are very merciful. Remember, we didn't see that here. We saw that in Moreh. but he's mentioning it here briefly. Rach levav, there are some people that are scaredy cats, as we would say. They're frightened of everything. Their hearts just don't stand up to anything that they're faced with. And some are amitz lev, some are very strong, brave, and powerful. They stand against anything. V'chol kayotze b'hem. We got the picture? Okay, so what are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with extremes. Okay, the Rambam is saying that we've got extremes. Okay, so this is a perfect room for that. Yeah, imagine one side of the room and the other side of the room. These are the extremes. And there are many, many extremes in human behavior. Now, the thing about the extremes is, when someone allows for themselves to act on some range of extreme, that attribute is overwhelming in the person. If we look at this room in terms of a scale, and we recognize that one level is heavier than the other, it tips. So we lack balance. And if we lack balance, then we recognize that whatever is tipping the scales on either side is what's overwhelming. It's what's coming out. What the Rambam is saying is we risk that always as human beings. And as human beings, the question is how are our scales tipping in terms of our behaviors, attributes, thoughts, feelings, and so on and so forth. So what the Rambam suggests, right, is first of all to be aware of the fact that there are ranges. That's what he says in number 2 of Hilchot De'ot. So we're not in the source sheet, we are now in the text. Okay? Number in bit. And he says, Yesh ben kol de'a ve'de'a rechoka mimena b'katzei ha'acher de'ot benoniot. Now, understanding that we are talking about extremes and ranges, there are, of course, medians. I mean, you have extremes on one end and extremes on the other end, and then you have stuff in the middle. So there is a range of behaviors. There are intensities of behavior. And it's just a question of where your volume is on any of these intensities. How high is the volume on one side or the other side? And is your balance balanced? So he continues say, Kol ha-de'ot, all of these attributes, yesh mehin de'ot shehin la'adam mitchilat b'riyato. He says, now I think it's very important for us to understand that these attributes do not all come into us the same way. There's a number of ways that a human being can acquire these attributes. He gives some examples. And he basically says, it doesn't matter. But take a look at some of the examples. Right? He says, look, there are certain things that come into us, mitchilat b'riyata, we're born with them. We are not, according to Rambam, a tabula rasa, like John Locke wanted to say. Yeah, we are not a tabula rasa. Anybody who has kids, I don't know, do they have kids, John Locke? I don't know. Anybody who has kids, they're just not a tabula rasa. Yeah, I mean, they come in with their personalities, with their feelings, with their attributes, and so on and so forth. They're all different. And what the Rambam is saying is that we come into this life with certain attributes. That's one thing. Lefi teva gufo. It's based on our biology. There are some people that are more prone to behaviors than others. So they may not be immediately filled with a particular behavior, but they're prone to acquiring one behavior more than another. There are some situations where they're learned behaviors. Socially influenced. You watch the people around you, you grow up with the people around you, you see the mannerisms of the people around you, the actions and behaviors, and it's learned. Or he saw something on TV or on the internet and decided, you know something? I want to start doing that. So it wasn't that it was passive in terms of learned behaviors because of surroundings, but a conscious choice that somebody made that this is the way that they want to be. And they decide to go for it. Because he heard that it was a good idea to behave this way, or he decided that it was cool to behave this way, or whatever the way. And he engaged in the routine of behavior until it became stuck in his head. Stuck in his behavior, in the psychology, this is the way that the person learned to act. It became habitual. Yeah, he created the habit of doing this. So the Rambam over here is moving, and he's saying, yes, we are complex, but we also have many modes in which we learn behaviors. Sometimes they're not learned, sometimes we're born with them. It's important to understand that the reason why we do the things we do or think the things we think are not one reason. They come from many places. Because you might say, says the Rambam, he will say, right, that I was born this way. This is the way I am. I'm a hot-headed. It's just the way I am. Deal with it. Right? Or you might say, well, I mean, just the way I grew up. My parents, my brother, my friend. I mean, just everything around me is the way I saw. That's the way we are. You know? This is when you're from Brooklyn, this is the way you act. You know? And so on and so forth. Or you might say, listen, I've been doing this since I was a kid. It's really, really hard for me to break it. I mean, when I was a kid, this is what I saw, this is what I wanted. You know, all my friends, I decided this is what I was going to do, and I practiced and practiced and practiced, and this is the way I am. And now, I mean, it's just I don't know any other way. Sound familiar, any of these things? Yeah. That's what the Rambam's talking about. Now, this doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. I mean, there's many ways in which these things happen. I want to take a look at some of these things. Because this is a human thing. This isn't a Jewish thing, right? We're not talking about a Jewish thing over here. We're talking about a human thing over here. And therefore, if we're talking about a human thing, and it's something that all human beings can study and research and understand, it is worth listening to anybody who has anything meaningful to say about it. Way back when, Harambam himself, when he was dealing with these things, said, I'm going to be telling you things that I studied from the Talmud, that I saw from the Midrash, and that I've read in philosophy from all over the place, but they're true. So take a look. First, there's a pasuk, there's a line in the Midrash Echa that they say, Im yor alecha adam yesh chokhmah bagoyim. If a person comes and says, you know something, there is really great wisdom among the Gentiles. Ta'amin, believe them. Believe them. And listen. You can sense that there's chokhmah. It's worth paying attention to. The Rambam, in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, which deals tremendously with these issues, says as follows. He says, Dak yadvarim shomah bebrakim alalu, I want you to know that the things that I'm going to write in these chapters of Pirkei Avot, b'mashi avo min ha-perush, enam inyanim shechidashtim min anim elibi. I want you to understand, I didn't innovate these things in my heart. Everything I'm writing to you here, I got from someone. I read somewhere. Lo pirushim shani himzatim. I didn't create these explanations. I didn't make these things up. Ela inyanim milukatim. I took them and gathered them midivrei hachamim, from the words of the hachamim, b'midrashot u'b'talmud v'zulato mechiburehem, from the Talmud, from the Medrash, from all of their books that they write. Not only that, gam midivrei philosophim. I looked at the philosophers as well. Harishonim ve'aharonim, the early ones and the most recent ones. I've looked at it all. And what I'm writing to you here comes from all of it. It's all of it. U'mechaburei harbe mibnei adam. Not only the philosophers, I've looked at books from authors across humanity. And I am writing, I'm gleaning for you the valuable information, says the Rambam, and I'm putting it forth to you over here. And he says, the final line, which is the most beautiful line, Kabel et ha'emet mimi she'amara, accept the truth from whomever speaks it. So, these are important things. These are human things. And therefore, I will do like the Rambam. One of my favorite books that I've read in recent weeks, months, maybe a year or more, I take a slow, I'm a slow reader, reading like a lot of books at once, is a book called A General Theory of Love, which is written, it's a collaboration by three psychiatrists and neurologists. But it's written very well, and it's written very beautifully, actually, and it deals essentially with the whole question of human love. But it deals with it not only in terms of what love is, in terms of our behavior, but how we learn love and how our relationships ultimately breed love or cause problems with our capacity to engage in love. So what they're writing about over here is just how we acquire, like the Rambam's doing, Lehavdil, in his halachot, how we acquire the feelings, thoughts, attributes that we acquire. What they're writing about is something that HaRambam couldn't have written about because he didn't know about, and that's genes. Do our behaviors come through genetically? It's not a popular thing, but they do. So take a look. Not all of them, some of them. Genes can generate a limbic scaffold, limbic meaning the limbic element of the brain that allows for us to be able to interact and engage and think in terms of our behaviors. A limbic scaffold slanted toward. Notice slanted towards, same kind of lashon, like znote. How does one lean, right? What is the tendency of a person? How is one prone? Slanted towards shyness or a short temper. As assuredly as they do long bones or a fair complexion. In other words, we don't have a problem realizing that genes will affect or program our complexion. We don't like thinking that the genes actually affect our disposition. But it definitely has some effect. Dogs can be bred for their emotionality. And usually are. And we know, anybody that likes dogs, I like dogs, knows there's different temperaments. Certain strains of mice are 30 times more anxious than others. So are some human families. Right? Why do they say families? Because it's a family kind of thing. That's why when the Gemara says, you know, watch out for the Kohanim. You know, if a guy's really angry or hot-headed, they're either a real poor human being or they're a Kohen. Right? Because the Kohanim just can't help it. Because the Kohanim are entrusted with keeping everything in order in the Beit HaMikdash. And they're so concerned about meticulous behavior and meticulous action, so on and so forth, you can't step out of line. So it gets them, puts them really on edge. You know? So you got to be careful about those things. Emotional experience, not only that, so now they're talking about the same book. They're talking about not genetics, but learned behaviors. And our first and most profound learned behavior is from our parents. We look to our parents without realizing it, as infants, to understand how it is that we should respond emotionally in a given situation. So if I fall off the jungle gym, do you have jungle gym here? Do you say that? No, you don't say that. You don't know what I'm talking about. What is it?
Climbing.
I don't even know what that is. I don't know what that is. Anyway, if you're at the park, right, and these kids, they climb on bars. If you fall off, the kid falls off, right? A little child falls off. First thing the child does, hurt, looks to mommy. Is she scared? Is she crying? Is she laughing? Is it a big deal? Is it a small deal? All of that is not coming with us as we are born. It's not downloaded. It's learned. But it's learned that early. And it's learned by that kind of understanding. Emotional experience begins as a derivative. It is derived. It isn't inherent. A child gets his first taste of feeling secondhand. Only through limbic resonance with another can he begin to apprehend his inner world. He mirrors. She mirrors. She learns to understand what's going on inside. We incorporate that. Finally, in the first years of life, a child extracts patterns from his relationships. Before any glimmerings of event memory appear. Meaning, what's event memory? The capacity to remember events. Right? So we know that there's a limit to how far we can remember back. Right? But there is inherent memory that we don't recall per se, but that is ingrained. Stores an impression of what love feels like. If a parent loves him in the healthiest way, wherein his needs are paramount, mistakes are forgiven, patience is plentiful, hurts are soothed as best they can be, then that is how he will relate to himself and others. Anomalous love, one where his needs don't matter, where love is suffocating, autonomy is intolerable, makes its ineradicable limbic stamp. Healthy loving then becomes incomprehensible for this person. This person doesn't know what love is, what it feels like, what it's supposed to be. Serious stuff. Serious stuff. And the Rambam recognizes this at the opening of his halachot. Now, that seems pretty hopeless. And it seems that we should basically close the book and go home right now. Because what the Rambam is proposing to us is that we can adjust this stuff. Because if he's not assuming that we can adjust this stuff, then there's no point in talking about any of it. Right? Right. So first of all, we have to look at it halachically. So let's take a look at Hilchot Teshuvah. Right? Hilchot Teshuvah requires that Teshuvah involve not only a return or repentance from my actions, but from my attributes. So it's not just about Teshuvah on insulting someone, or Teshuvah on stealing something, or Teshuvah on sleeping with the wrong person or eating the wrong thing. It's Teshuvah on problematic feelings, attributes, and thoughts. Have a look. Al tomar she'en Teshuvah ela me'averot she'yesh bahen ma'aseh. Don't say, says the Rambam, that the only repentance that I have to worry about is from deeds that I've done. She'esh bahen ma'aseh kon znut v'gezeg u'deva, like licentiousness, like theft, and so on. Ela k'shem she'tzarich adam lashuv me'elu kach u'tzarich lehapes b'deot ra'ot she'esh. Just as we have to return from those things, we have to search inward in our deot. There has to be a self knowledge. We have to become familiar with who we are first. So there has to be self-assessment. Vilashuv min hakas, and to return from anger, umin haeva, and from insult and mean, being mean, min hakina, from jealousy, min hitul, from frivolity, mirdifat hamamon, running after money, kavod, and honor, mirdifat hamachalot, running after food, and the best burger, kayotze ba'in, like all of these things, min hakol, tzarich lachzor b'tshuva. From it all, we have to return. So Rambam is unabashedly here in Hilchot Teshuvah saying, we have responsibility to deal with this stuff. So in essence, he's saying, you may have had a very difficult childhood. Maybe that your parents for generations are hotheads. Could be that it was a very difficult circumstance in your friend's situation, were bullied and so on and so forth. That's wonderful. We're going to have to figure out how to address it. But there's a requirement to address it. How do I know that the Rambam is sensitive to what we just read from that book, General Theory of Love? Because his opening to Hilchot Deot is, listen, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that these things can come into you. But still, we have to address them. So Hilchot Deot deals with how it is that we address these things. He says that getting away from these things, he says it outright, it's the hardest thing we could do. It's much easier to stop behavior, stop stealing, than it is to stop the way that I am. Than to stop the fact that I am an angry person, that I am a fearful person, that I am a stubborn person. Those are much more difficult things to adjust. He recognizes that. Kashim me'otan she'esh ba'en ma'aseh. It's much more difficult than those things that have to do with just behaviors, actions. Yeah, my attributes are a whole different story. And yet, there's a requirement of teshuvah. So how do we deal with this? I mean, what am I supposed to aim for, really? I mean, that's the next question, isn't it? What am I supposed to aim for? If I understand that I'm supposed to address it, how do I know that I got there? So let's take a look back at the halachot. And Rambam says as follows. Shnei ketzavot harchokot zo mizo shebechol de'a ve'de'a. He says, well, I could tell you one thing to start with. Don't live on the ends. Don't be over there. Why? Because it's not you. That's why. As we'll see. Because you can clearly recognize that if you're living on the ends, the attribute is you, not you. And it's just an attribute. Attribute means it's an attribution. It's attributed to you. It isn't you. But if I am on the end where my scales are tipped over there, then it becomes me. And that's a problem. Because it means that I'm eclipsed by an attribute. It's a problem. I get covered up from the fact that my scales have tipped in favor of an attribute rather than in favor of me. So Harambam says, don't enan derech toba. It's not good to live in the ends, in the edges. As a matter of fact, It's not good to live anywhere where the scales are going to be tipped. Don't live there. Don't walk in those ways. Don't teach yourself to be that way. And this includes, I'm going to take a moment, right? This includes a person says, for example, you know, I say it like it is. Yeah, not good. What if it's not appropriate to say it like it is? And people do this with all kinds of attributes, right? Don't start with me. Oh, don't start with him. You know him. Oh, them. Why? Why shouldn't I start with him? Because the person doesn't have control over his own emotions and behaviors? Because he's stuck and enslaved to a particular attribute? Yeah. Chaval. I should pray for him. Not start with him. This is the thing. So the Rambam says, not good. Don't teach yourself to do this. If you find, notice the language over here. If you find your nature leaning towards either one of them, which is language that we had in the book, yeah, the general theory of love, or muhan leachat mehem, or you are predisposed to one of them. You find yourself constantly resisting because you so easily walk into that. Yeah? So easily are drawn after that. That's what muhan lehem. You're ready for it, literally is what it means, right? You're predisposed. Yeah? Or you're already stuck in it. Vinahagba, and you've been doing this for a long time. Yahzir atzmo lemutav, get yourself into a good way. As he would say over here, they don't say that in America, but it's a great point. Right? It's a great term. Get yourself into a good way, because otherwise you're in a bad way, and you don't want to be in a bad way. V'yelech b'derech hatovim, walk in the path of the good ones. Oh, and what is that? That's a straight path. So remember we had that at the very, very beginning, the first class, we were talking about that, right? Well, what is that path? So the Rambam says in Dalit, take a look. Just want to make sure. Yes? What I was just reading is the text. When I say text, it's this sheet. Yeah? It's this. This is our text, okay? You'll want to keep this because we're going to come back to this. So if you're planning to return, I would... Are we allowed? Yeah, keep it. Okay? Because we're coming back to this. This is the text. The source sheet is up there in here. Okay? So I just finished reading number 3 in the text. Yeah? All right. So number 4 in the text. Yeah, number 4 in the text. Haderech haishara. Let me tell you, says the Rambam, what the straight path is. Himida benonit. It is middle measure. Measure in the middle. Shebechol de'avida, with every attribute. So if I'm a scale, and I'm talking about ends, where do I want to be? I want to be in the middle. That's the straight path, he says. That is the middle measure, because in that way, what emerges? And it's the exact middle, by the way. What is it?
Balance.
Well, that's yes, but what emerges in balance? Me. It's very important to recognize that the Rambam here, and he will say this more explicitly later on, he says it has to be the exact middle. How are you supposed to measure that if I'm just looking at an attribute? How do I know I'm in that exact middle from anger and, you know, cold fish not responsive? Where is the exact middle of that? Or any of the others? How do I know when my desire has really hit perfect middle and I'm not, you know, I like just enough? You don't. That's the answer. You don't. So clearly that's not what the Rambam is saying. He keeps talking about ends and tilting. Keeps talking about it. Note, right? Be careful. You don't want to be dragged on either end. Get to the middle. That's the straight path. What happens over there is you emerge. Why do you emerge? Because you're not eclipsed by the tilting or the overcoming of an attribute. So if you're not being dragged on either end by an attribute, you now have the ability to be you and what? Choose. What will you choose if you're in the middle? what you wish or what you need to use to engage. Hold on. I'll hear your question in a second, okay? I'm conscious that we're at 9:30. You think I didn't realize, right? I realize. Yeah? I mean, we can stop here if you want, or I can finish. Okay, I'm not going to take long, right? You emerge because there's nothing that's pulling you. There's nothing encumbering you. It's not easy to get here. But the point here, we're not going to talk about yet how to get here. That's not tonight. What the Rambam is saying is that when I get here, I'm here. It's me. And therefore, what Benoni is, what the middle measure is not where I am in terms of anger or non-anger. Because I'm here, it's a question of how I wish to use my anger. Because I'm in control. And this is the only place that I'm in control. You see that? This is the only place that I'm in control, is in the middle. If I'm tilting on either side, I'm not in control. I'm being torn. I'm being tilted. I'm being pulled. And therefore, I'm not the one that's in control. The attribute is in control. Another way of saying this in modern terms is, my drives are driving me. I'm not the driver. And what we want is to be the driver. And if you're not in the driver's seat, you can't drive. This is the driver's seat. This is the driver's seat. If you're sitting in the back seat, on the wing, that's not the driver's seat. You're a passenger, you're not a driver. So the question is, how do I get to the driver's seat? That's not for tonight. All I need to know is, we're going to deal with it, but I need to know is, my goal is to get into the driver's seat. What do I call the driver's seat? It's the middle. It's the middle because it doesn't tilt. I'm there balanced. It's balance. Hadir Reishara, Midah Benonit, Shekol Deah V'Deah, Mikol HaDeot Sheyesh La'adam V'Yediyah Shei Rechoka Mishnei HaKtzavot. It is the point that is equidistant from the edges. Richuk Shaveh. Richuk Shaveh means literally equidistant. It's the exact middle. And he can't be talking about the exact middle of a particular attribute. Clearly. The exact middle is Ena krova zo zo zo. It's neither close to this side or this side. It's perfectly in the middle. Fichzach zavu achamim rishim shiyadam sham deotav tamid. Therefore, we're going to get into this in more detail, but the Rambam says over here, he gives this to us, he says, therefore the Hachamim said, you must always be evaluating your deot. Am I tilting? Am I overwhelming on either side? Am I even prone towards it on either side? Constant checks for balance is what the Rambam is saying. Constant checks. The Hachamim said, always be checking. Umshayer otam, weigh them. Measure them. That's why we will call these things not de'ot in our vernacular, but midot, measures. To what measure am I on any particular attribute? Umchaven otam bederech ha'emtzait, get them to the middle, so that you can emerge. Kedesh she'yeh shalem, so that you will be whole. And that's what he means by whole. You're there, nothing else. There's no and nothing missing in terms of that. I want to take a minute, please, to look at these points that the Rambam brings over here and some of the other Rishonim. Take a look at number 7. On the source sheet, excuse me, yes. Number 7 on the source sheet. This is the second Mishnah, this is the opening of the second chapter in Pirkei Avot. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Omer, he asks a very simple question, which is the way that a person should choose to walk in his life? Whatever is beautiful to the person himself, herself, and what's beautiful to other people. Very vague. The Rambam comes in, Leshitato, according to his whole idea and system, and he says in his commentary on this Mishnah, number 8, Mevu'ar shu shederech ha'ishara hi ha'peulot ha'tovot. The straight path that Rabbi is talking about are the good things that we explained in the fourth perek over there in Pirkei Avot. V'hem ha-ma'alot ha-memutza'ot. They are the attributes that are memutza, that are in the middle. Mipnei she-behem, with those, when you're in the middle, yikneh ha-adam le-nafsho techuna hashuva. With those, a person acquires for himself high modes of behavior and being. V'yemin hagotov, the way he carries himself will be good. Im bnei adam, both with people. Behu amro tiferet leoseha, v'tiferet lo min haadam. You get yourself in order, and you end up treating others and acting with others in proper order when you're at the middle. Take a look at number 10. I just want you to see it on the outside. Richard Dawkins writes a book, The Selfish Gene, in which he goes into detail talking about how genes ultimately are in control of us. And he points out saying that we have hope because of our brains. And he says, not only are brains in charge of the day-to-day running of survival machine affairs, we're the survival machines, yeah? For the genes to survive. They also acquire the ability to predict the future and act accordingly. They even have the power to rebel against the dictates of the genes. So here you've got Richard Dawkins telling you, you can do this, right? The point here is to be able to use our minds to change our actions and behaviors. And we can do that. Because when I say to get there in the middle and we emerge, or when I talk about relating to ourselves, what am I talking about? How many selves are there? How do I relate to myself? Obviously, there is an overarching self that is aware of me. And that's the one that I want ultimately to be in charge. Not the one that's watching me do the things that I wonder why it is that I'm doing. Yeah? So I get there. Number 11, a beautiful line. Despite the longevity of attractors and the waning of neural flexibility as we get older, you know, our neural capacity to change lessens as I get older, the emotional mind can change in adulthood. The old patterns can undergo revision. Can the neglected or abused child hope for a healthy life? Will his adulthood replicate his past and prove again the principles he knows too well? Considering the neural impediment to progress, how does this healing happen? The first part of emotional healing is being limbically known. Somebody sees you, helps you, recognizes it, connects. Having someone with a keen ear catch your melodic essence. For adults, a precise seer's light can still split the night, illuminate treasures long thought lost, and dissolve many fearsome figures into shadows and dust. It's not just the Rambam saying this. Although, I want to be clear, it's not that we need anyone else. But I don't want 850-year-old language to bother you. The Rambam's words are as cutting edge today as they were 850 years ago. And that's what we're doing. So, regardless of the childhood, regardless of the genes, regardless of all of those things, we have the capacity to do it. It's a tough job. Make no mistake. But we're required to do it. We have requirements of teshuvah, and we have requirements of vehalachta bidrachav. We have obligation to do this like any other one of the 613 mitzvot in the Torah. The Rambam listed it. The beautiful thing is that when we do this, we're walking with God. And that's Harambam's ultimate point. I'm going to end here and say one last thing. I want you to take a look, please. I put on the page on 17 and 18. All right, I'm going to leave it. The idea of self-emergence, I brought in the source sheet, numbers 13, 14, 15, and 16. You can find from these things, it's just not my words, right? That the Achamim recognize us coming out of all of this. But ultimately, what I want to end with is this. So I'd like you to please take a look on the text page, the end of Dalit. Because all the Rambam does that goes through the rest of Dalit, he gives more examples. But I want you to look at the end of Dalit where it says, Kol Adam, where if I can find it, let me see it. Kol Adam, the end of Dalit is the other side of the page, literally the second to last line in the paragraph Dalit. Yeah? Kol Adam, you see? Kol Adam shederotav kulan derot benoniyot bemutzarot. When a person actually gets to the point where they're in the middle, which means, by definition, that all of their attributes are in the middle. Which means what? Being in the middle, I want this to be clear tonight. If you have come away with one thing tonight, let it be this. Being in the middle means that you use your attributes as the situations and your life and the circumstances require. You are in charge and you use them as needed. Not as you're driven to, not as you're urged to, but as needed. You are in control. You. That's what it means to be in the middle. Yeah? And therefore, it requires understanding circumstances, yes? In other words, it requires da'at of situations. Should I be angry here or shouldn't I? Should I be happy here or shouldn't I? Should I be kind, merciful in this situation, or do I need to be stern? Those questions are questions that one can only truly answer in the middle, because I'm choosing what to do, because I'm not being pulled and forced by anything else. When I come to that level of understanding of the world and my life and my interaction with that, I am called a hacham. It's why Harambam calls a person who is capable of getting to the middle in terms of their own life, that's who we call a hacham. Why? They understand life. And they understand the circumstances, and they understand what's needed of them. That is called a wise man. So the Rambam says, when you get to that point, mi kol adam shedeotav kulan deot benuniot mutzot nikra hacham. That's what you call a hacham. No one else. Says Rav Nachum Ravinovich, who I think he used to be, what are the others of the Jews called? He was principal of Jews College. So nice to end tonight with his words here at the LSJS. Rav Rabinovich says as follows. He's explaining Harambam's words over here. He wrote a whole perush on the Rambam. It's in the source sheet 19. Haderech ha-benonit hi ha-mithayevet mitoch. The derech benonit, the middle of the road, comes from contemplating hitboninut b'mtziut, understanding what the reality is. What's going on in reality? Lefichach nikret derech ha-chokhmah. Therefore, it's called a wise road, a wise way. You get what's going on. You understand? Ha-olech ba, and a person who walks in this way, nikra hacham. That's called a hacham. V'yesh lefamim shataya letzad mesuyam min haderech. I don't need more. This calls about chassid. We're going to do that another time. Yeah? Good? Okay, clear? Okay.